we've been kind of going through in past messages about different characteristics of God, and this is just kind of an outworking of that, I think. So instead of just telling us what's to be done, like a typical message on evangelism, for instance, we could look at verses that say we should obey the Great Commission in Mark 16:15. And it says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Or we could look at Matthew 28:18-20. That says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Or we could look at Christ's very clear illustration in Matthew 5:13-16. It says, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do people light a lamp or put it under a bowl. But instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So Christ here is talking about how we live out our Christianity and how you evangelize to the world around you. So a lot of these verses say as Christians, tell us as Christians what we should be doing, but a lot of the people don't evangelize and share our faith. And Bill Bright, he was the president of Campus Crusade for Christ, and in his book, Why Christians Sin, he said, millions of surveys which have been helped take around the world indicate that approximately 98% of Christians do not regularly introduce others to the Savior. Instead of just preaching these verses and telling you what's to be done, I wanted us to look at about four different things that can make us more effective witness for Christ. I heard it said once, if you want to make a million, you should talk to a millionaire. If you want to be successful in business, you should talk to people that succeed in business. And that's why I want us to look today at a man who was known by spreading the gospel throughout the known world at the time. I want us to see how he gave his own testimony as well. And that would have been Paul. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want us to read it again. We'll look in verse 12, and it says, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord Jesus was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Jesus Christ might be displayed his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So I know evangelism is a very hard thing to do initially, because we're all scared. We're not quite sure how it's going to be taken. And sometimes we feel like we don't know enough. And I felt like this many times. In one circumstance, I vividly remember feeling this way. I was working at a company called Versatech as a team leader. And I had a few guys working underneath me. And we were making parts for the sunroofs for the Chrysler 300s. And I had a friend, Harry. He was a German guy in his 40s. And we'd eat lunch together every day. And we'd just shoot the breeze and talk about different things. And I was really scared to speak to him because I was worried about losing his friendship or having him think badly about me. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way too. And Paul hits on this here and what we have to rely on. And that is the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the thing I want us to look at firstly is strength. So strength for the Christian life and ministry always comes from Christ. We see this in the first part of the verse. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength. Paul's ministry was marked by spiritual power. His missionary work brought results. And we know that he preached throughout the most of the known world. But he does not explain this to us on the basis of a seminary education, up-to-date methods, or personal charisma. Instead, he credits and thanks Christ Jesus for empowering him. Graham Cook said in regards to God's strength, he said, he is not seeking a powerful people to represent him. Rather, he is looking for all those who are weak, foolish, despised, and written off, and he happens them with his own strength. We must realize that it is Christ and Christ alone that gives us the strength for any work for the Lord. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Now, I also want us to look at Psalm 33:6. So there is nothing that we can't do without the help of the Lord, because we must remember what kind of God we serve. And in Psalm 33:6, he says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. When we look at creation around us and how vast and intricate it is, and realize that we should realize that we serve a star-breathing God, and that he can help us with everyday situations. I heard it said once, how big you see God determines on how much you will do for him. And it's more than just us realizing that he gives us strength, but it's another to realize that he's already given us what we need. We read it a lot here at church, 2 Peter 1:3. Many of you could probably quote it. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So we have everything we need in life and his strength in order to live the Christian life, but also to witness. Be the witness that we ought to be around people. So if God grants us, if God wanted us to preach the gospel to every creature, then he's already given us the strength and the ability to do it. Secondly, I want us to see love. So it says in verse 14, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. When we love people the way that we ought to love them and see them like God sees them, then we will be more inclined to share the love of God with them. If you turn over to 1 John chapter 4, I'll give you a minute to turn there. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look in verse 7. John says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him, and he in us. He gives us his Spirit, and we have seen and can testify that the Father has sent his Son to the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made love perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brothers and sisters. So I've included strength and love together, kind of because they go hand in hand. Because our strength comes from our love from God as well. And if we see others around us like God does, then we want to do our best for them and serve them. And I like how it says that perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. So we don't have to be afraid to talk to others, because perfect love casts out all the fear. And thirdly, I want us to see honor. Secondly, we realize that it was an honor for God allowing him to the office of evangelism. It says in our main text, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful and appointed me to his service." So he's thanking Christ Jesus for the opportunity and the honor. He was saying here that it was an honor for him to serve the Lord. But we must see that it was an honor for us to do our Heavenly Father's service as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19, it says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation." So we see that God committed this ministry to us. Reconciliation means to make peace or settle a dispute or to win over to friendliness. The Bible teaches us that before we are saved, that we are at war with God and against him. In Romans 8:7, it says, "The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of flesh cannot please God." But now we are to witness to God, to people, so that they can share in that very same peace with God that we enjoy. This ministry is an honor. It is something that we can do for God because he has done so much for us. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." The first part here says, "Therefore I urge you." Or in the King James, it says, "I beseech you, therefore." It has this idea in Greek that if you miss everything else, get this. Or another way of putting it is, this is important. So in the eyesight of everything that God has done for us, we should live each day for him and the things of God. Back with my story with Harry. That day on lunch break, I got to explain to Harry for the very first time the gospel. The rest of the day, I remember I was so excited because I was able to point him to Christ and to explain to him why I was so different. My joy came from the fact that I was doing something for Christ, who had done so much for me. And I knew that I was able doing my Father's will that day. The Bible says that heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents, which brings me to my next point, is your testimony. Just like I give my testimony to Harry, we see Paul's conversion story here in the opening verses. First, he explains who he was before he got saved. He says, "I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man." Every good testimony always explains life before they became a Christian. Whether they were a drunk on the street to a young child sitting up worrying at night about where he would spend eternity. We should always remember where we were in life before Christ. It does a few things for us. We realize how good we have it, and we will delight ourselves in the Lord. From everything being dark and maybe being horrible to lifting our spirits and giving us a spirit of gratefulness. And I want us to see that it will also make us share your testimony to others, because we will realize how good you have it and how much you have, and that you've been blessed, and you wanted to share it with others so that they can share the same blessings that you experienced in your life. Then you will see how he's converted. The first Timothy passage says, "The grace of our Lord was poured on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." And what is this full acceptance? That Christ died for us and paid our penalty on the cross. That it was an act of God's glorious grace, and that it was nothing that we could do for our own to receive it. But it was just by trusting Christ and him alone. Each one of us has a testimony that is different from everyone else's, and all the events that surround it. But the way to God is always the same, and that is through Christ. In Paul's testimony, you see his life after he believed. "But I received mercy for this very reason, that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." This patience has to do with love. This word was also translated long-suffering, which Christ long-suffered for us on the cross. Here Paul is talking about the difference in his life now, so that others can see those differences and get saved through it. In our lives, as we yield to God, he changes things in our lives, and we should live in this different state of holiness to God, so that the world can see the difference and glorify your Father, as the Bible says. One other place we could look is 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We should be living lives in such a way so that we proclaim the praises of our testimony for those around us, to make his name known to every nation, tribe, and tongue. But we may ask, how are we to do it? With what attitude? Paul here does not brag about his past sins, but exalts Christ and what Christ has done for him. He speaks in humility. Peter goes on to speak later in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. It says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason of the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Every Christian has to make a defense to anyone who asks us for a reason for the hope that is within us. This hope is to be done, this hope that is the hope that we receive from Christ. This defense, though, is to be done with gentleness and respect. While talking to people about our faith, we aren't to act superior to others or fight or argue with them, but we are to realize that we are no better than they are, and that we are merely beggars and have nothing, because Christ has given us everything. And we are nothing without him, but we should offer explanations for why our lives are radically changed. I was thinking about my time on the Honda assembly line for a while. We were building the Honda CRVs and the Civics and the Acura MDXs and ZDXs. And I was different than everyone else in my zone. I may be weird, but it wasn't just that. I was the only professing Christian in my zone. And because of that, I've had many interesting conversations about my faith. And I'm sure that many of you could talk about different ways that you've been able to share with others that you work with. Even here in Winkler, we could be so different than those that are trying to earn their salvation or hoping to make it. And we can have the peace and joy that others may not have. We have to realize that people we speak to aren't people that don't share our beliefs, but they may be lost souls that don't have Jesus and that don't have eternal life and that are living in darkness. Or there may be people who just don't understand the gospel fully, and don't have this peace and joy that we may have. Evangelism isn't about changing their beliefs, but speaking of the hope that's within us and letting God change them. And as such, as we proclaim the one who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light, we see through the text how Paul gave his testimony and how we can do the same. People can always argue with scriptures and everything else, but the one thing that they can't argue with is your personal testimony and the holy or set-apart life that you live before God. I was reading earlier this week, it was from Moody Antidotes, and D.L. Moody was a great evangelist that preached during the Chicago Revival, and he led many different revival campaigns in Britain as well. And he told this story. He said, "I remember hearing a man at sea who was very seasick. If there was ever a time that a man feels that he cannot do any work for the Lord, it's then, in my opinion. While this man was sick, he heard that a man had fallen overboard. And he was wondering if he could do anything to help save him. So he laid hold of a light and held it up at the porthole. The drowning man was saved. But when this man got over his attack of sickness, he was up on the deck one day and was talking to the man who had been rescued. The saved man gave this testimony. He said he had just gone down for the second time and was going down again for the last time when he put out his hand. And just then, he said, someone held out the light at a porthole and the light fell on his hand. And a man caught him by the hand and pulled him into a lifeboat. It seemed like a small thing to do, to hold up the light, yet it saved this man's life. If you cannot do some great thing, you can hold the light for some poor perishing man who may be won to Christ and delivered from destruction." And he goes on and says, "Let's take the torch of salvation into the darkest of homes and hold up Christ to the people as the Savior of the world." And it's kind of a unique story, but it kind of just shows that, like, just the little things that we do can actually make a great effect for God. And so in conclusion, we see that there are things that are in the life of the believer that we're already equipped with, the inner strength of the Holy Spirit. And God gives us the honor of doing his ministry of reconciliation. And he's given us a testimony that is like no other. Now God is leaving it up to us to do the rest. And before we finish off here, I want us to look at 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Other translations say that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. So this week, as we go to work and do different activities and things and have conversations with family and loved ones, let us do the work of the Father this week in his might and grace. And this is just what I've been looking at lately, and I pray that it'd be helpful for you this week. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you give us everything that we need. And I pray, Lord, that this week as we have conversations and as we share, that we would be able to share why we do the things that we do, and let us be able to share our love for you. And I pray, Lord, that we would just see fruit from that, and that it would just encourage us, and that we, next week when we come together, that maybe we can share with others what you've done this week in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would just give us safety as we leave here and help us have a good rest of the day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.